Praise the Lord. For my part, I too would like to welcome everyone very warmly in the precious name of the Lord and express my heart's deepest desire that we have an encounter with God in these days, that we experience God, that we not only celebrate Pentecost, but experience Pentecost as our brothers and sisters also received it in the beginning. I am convinced that if we come in faith with a right attitude, with a right biblical attitude towards the biblical promises, God will fulfill and confirm His word. Let us focus on the word in these days. I could welcome you all individually, but collectively it is best. And just as the earthly heat warms us inwardly as well as outwardly, we need fire from above to thaw us spiritually. And that is what we need. We are all too stiff. We are all somewhat frozen. And the fire from above will bring the solution. Of Him it is written, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The day of Pentecost was not a preaching day, and the waiting time was not a time of conversation, of discussion, but a time of prayer, a time of expectation, a time of inner preparation to receive what God has promised. And we have, especially through the ministry of Brother Branham, and perhaps I may make the brief announcement here, that Sister Branham went home on the 12th and was buried on the 16th. She too is now with the Lord. And we can only say, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord henceforth. We don't need to mourn. On the contrary, but we who are still here, who perhaps still have many a test to pass, many a battle to fight, we are certainly not quite as well off as those who are already with the Lord. But it was Brother Branham through whom God put the word to be first at this time. Many did not like it. They had experiences. They put all kinds of things that were dear to them first. But God sent a word prophet to call out a word bride. And we know in the Old Testament the word came to the prophets and they brought the word that they received. They were not prophets who would have reported experiences, but prophets to whom God spoke, who had fellowship with God. They were word prophets who predicted the course of the plan of salvation. And in the New Testament, we read that there were men driven by the Holy Spirit who proclaimed what we now hear and see. We also know that in the course of almost 2,000 years, so much has been interpreted and changed that the way to God was almost blocked and made impassable. But God sent a forerunner before the first coming of Christ, and he sent a forerunner before the second coming of Christ. The greatest experiences we have had, the dearest things that may be most precious to you, must be in accordance with the Word. God's Word is the standard we have to apply in all things, and that is where spirits separate. When it comes to experiences, one may see it one way or the other. But when it comes to the Word of God, it can only be seen through the Spirit who inspired the prophets to bring the Word. Those who do not see it through the Spirit of God, who inspired it and gave it, see it wrongly or not at all, one of the two. We can only see and recognize correctly when we have the Word of God revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And Jesus has given the promise that the Holy Spirit will come and lead us into all truth. And he speaks of the Holy Spirit as the teacher, and he says, he will reveal to you what is to come. He will take it from mine and will declare it to you. Then, in the Church Age messages, it always says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The message is addressed to the angel of the church, because that's what it says at the beginning of each Church Age message, and right to the angel of the church. At the end, it doesn't say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the angel says to the church, but what the Spirit says to the churches. We do not see and hear the man God uses as an instrument. We hear the Word revealed by the Spirit. We hear the Spirit of God speaking to us. But today and tomorrow, we want to deal with a Pentecostal experience in detail, or at least, as far as possible, read about it briefly in the Holy Scripture. And also from what Brother Branham said about it. Because I know that there are different views about the baptism in the Spirit and this supernatural experience. If we really want to experience God in these 2 days, we have to be ready to put all our own views aside. We must be willing to say yes with our hearts to the Word of God. God will never conform to you and me. We will have to be conformed to His Word. Otherwise, it will not work. In every fellowship, in every denomination, people try to put God into the program somehow. But with the Church of God, it is just the other way around. It is not we who try to put God into a program. It is God who puts us into His program. That is the big difference. And we may not realize it so much at the moment. But the difference is really very big. We can all do religious business, and it is all over. But the Church of Jesus Christ is only there where He as the head has the say-so, where He walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, where He can reveal Himself and speak to us. I would like to read from the book of Acts, chapter 1, from verse 3. Acts, chapter 1, from verse 3. To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. First of all, this word so far. Here the Lord Jesus had the farewell conversation with His own. The last words He spoke among His own before His ascension. They included not only the Great Commission, but also the equipping with power from on high in order to be able to carry out this Great Commission properly in the sense of God. We can only carry out this divine great commission if we have been equipped with divine power. And you all know, human questions can be answered by human beings, but divine questions must be answered by God. Human answers are of no use to us. They do not satisfy us, at least not in the long run. They may seem to help us a little at the moment, but then comes the time and the hour when it is not enough for human beings to answer divine questions. And the beauty of God's answer is that it is not in words again, but in action. At Pentecost, the Lord did not come down and say, "Yes, I will fill you with the Holy Spirit, as I promised." There was not the repetition of the promise again. There was the fulfillment of the promise, the realization. The heavens opened, the Holy Spirit came down, the fire of God fell on each one, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It was not a response in words, but a response in reality. The Word became flesh, the Word became reality. That is how it is with God. You know very well that the Lord has been announced as the Messiah for thousands of years. But when the Spirit came upon Mary, the Word became flesh. It became reality. The promises were summed up, and suddenly the Savior, who had been promised so much and so often, stood before them as a result. God's Word always has a result, and the promises that related to the Lord were fulfilled in Him. The promises that refer to the Church are fulfilled in and through the Church. And by this alone do we become the Word Bride. There is so much talk about it these days, and people think they are Word Bride when they talk about the Word. No, that's not it. And again, no. We are Word Bride when the Word of promise has become a reality in you and in me. Then we are Word Bride. Our Lord was the Word made flesh. And we know, Paul writes it to the Ephesians, and he says, "I point this mystery to Christ and the Church." Christ and the Church is one. He is the head, and we are the members. What happened to Him must happen to us. And this is what we must realize tonight, in order to grasp the necessity of being filled with the Holy Spirit in our deepest insight. As long as we still remain indifferent and say, "O Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit," when this is said or prayed in such a way, nothing happens. But if we suddenly do violence to the kingdom of heaven, I don't mean now that one becomes louder than the other, God is not deaf. You cannot do violence to the kingdom of heaven with a loudness. But you can do it with faith. All things of God are accessible on the basis of faith. And that's why our Lord says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." And when Brother Branham says 100 times, as good as once, "If these signs and wonders do not follow you, then you do not believe." This must really hit us one day. This has to speak to us. That has to penetrate our heart like a sword. And then we will realize that we are missing something. And I would like to take the liberty today to read from Brother Branham's sermon, "What Was the Holy Spirit Given For?" A few passages that speak precisely about the experience with the baptism in the Spirit. On page 17, I will begin to read. "Now we are going to say and show after a while that just those who are filled with the Holy Ghost goes in that rapture." This sentence alone is like a bomb. We are very close to the rapture. And that is what we are all waiting for. But not that we wait in vain. Not that we fetch the oil when it is already too late. Now is the time to pour the oil of the Spirit into our jars. Now is the hour to experience God. And I am grateful that God still allows us to experience these hours. That is only grace. Now we are going to say it and show after a while that just those who are filled with the Holy Ghost goes in that rapture. For the rest of the dead live not for the space of 1,000 years. That's right. Just Holy Spirit-filled people was all that went in the rapture. Now God gave the Holy Spirit. A very serious word. And we are thankful for all the revelation of the mysteries of God. We are thankful that we may see Jesus Christ as the Lord of Lords, as the King of Kings, in His divinity. We are thankful that in this last generation, as Brother Branham puts it, the mysteries of God have been made known to us from Genesis to Revelation. But if we knew all these mysteries and had all the faith that we could move mountains and didn't have the love, and now we come right to the point. The love of God is poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We can, that's what God's word says, we can try as hard as we want. It won't work. Let me read on. Quote, "According to the scripture, you are not converted until you've received the Holy Ghost. You are believing unto. The Holy Spirit has spoke to you, and you've publicly confessed Him." So one can bear witness to Jesus. One can follow him, but one's conversion is not yet complete unless God has put his seal on that person. And that is why Paul writes to the church at Ephesus in chapter 1 and in chapter 4, ye are sealed with the Holy Ghost unto the day of your redemption. Here we are told, according to the scriptures, you are not converted until you receive the Holy Spirit. We believe in Jesus Christ. We have become believers. Our sins are forgiven. That's absolutely true, because the Holy Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy house shall be saved. But here, it is about a little more than just believing. This is about our faith getting divine confirmation. We know, it says in Romans 4, that God gave Abraham circumcision as a seal for his faith. That was an outward sign. We are given the seal of the Holy Spirit that we may know that God has accepted our repentance, our faith, our turning to him. For example, when we are faithfully baptized in water, that is our step in obedience to God. But the response of God is that heaven opens and he baptizes us with his Spirit. The divine answer will put the seal on your conversion and mine. Do not doubt your conversion. Do not doubt your faith. But do not stop there, but say, Lord, now I also want to take this step with you. I also want to have this experience. I want to have your answer. I continue to read on page 18. God calls by election. Aren't you happy that you are one of them? Aren't you people here tonight knowing that something in your heart tugging, I want that Holy Spirit? There must be an urge there, an inner desire that becomes so strong. And Brother Branham asks the audience, don't you feel the urge in your heart tonight? Doesn't something say to you here in the deepest part of you, I want the Holy Spirit? And then he says, Lord, I want you in my heart. This desire is in you because God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. If we are among those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, then God puts within us the desire for that which prepares us to be with him forever. And because our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, God puts in us the desire to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, because that is necessary to behold His glory. Is that clear from this sermon of Brother Branham? You all know, and I don't need to emphasize this here. God has used him in many ways, especially evangelistically and doctrinally, prophetically, and so on. But here we have a sermon before us that is just tailored to Pentecost. And I'm thankful to God that we hear him speak not only as a prophet about the mysteries of God, about healing the sick, and about many things, but also for the preparation of the church. What good would it do us to be called out of all denominations if the calling out was not also connected with the preparation, and we would receive the assurance of the seal of God, the seal of the Holy Spirit, to carry the assurance in us to be part of the first resurrection, the rapture. And I don't intend to preach tonight. I only intend to emphasize from the Bible and from this sermon of Brother Branham's some verses and paragraphs. And I hope that God will put such a mighty desire in your heart and mine that we will do violence to the kingdom of God tonight and say, Lord, do unto us as you did unto our brothers and sisters on that first day of Pentecost. And when he does that, we shall all be glad. No one will need to be sorrowful anymore. Quote, all that the Father has given me will come to me, and all that come to me, I will give him the Holy Ghost. This too is true. God is a giving God. He gives us gifts in every way. It is called, after all, the gift of the Holy Spirit. If only I could put into your hearts with my voice the importance of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He could only preach the word. The rest was left to God and man. But one senses that he did not just go over this subject lightly, but that it was a subject he dealt with from the depth of his soul for the good of God's people, for the preparation of the Church of Jesus Christ. He didn't come with a good suggestion. He came with a divine necessity of this experience that we simply must have before our rapture. Page 21, quote, you are not yet sealed as long as you only believe in it, but when you have really received the Holy Spirit. So there is a difference in believing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One could make this clear with many examples. Abraham believed God. He knew that the promise made to him for Isaac would be fulfilled. But at first, it was only a belief. But when the time was fulfilled, faith saw and experienced the realization of the promise. And this Isaac, to whom the promise referred, stood or was there. So it is with the promises of God. They are there first as promises that we believe, and that is necessary. That is the first step. But from this faith of God's promises, it must come to the realization. Another example. The Lord said, "He who believes, these signs shall follow him." We can say 100 times that we believe in healing the sick. But if we do not lay hands on the sick, and the sick do not get well, then it is a faith that has not yet found confirmation. It is a faith that is founded on the Word, yes, but has not yet found realization. May we understand in these days that a word bride means that all of God's Word that was given for her and addressed to her comes to fulfillment and becomes reality through her. We also emphasized it on this round trip last weekend. Wherever God made promises, the time of fulfillment also came. And the time of fulfillment was the product. It was the thing itself that it was actually all about. So it is with the baptism of the Spirit. Here Brother Brim says, you are not yet sealed while you only believe it. But when you have actually received the Holy Ghost. So, if the sealing is a divine necessity, and the sealing can only be done by the Holy Spirit, then surely we notice how necessary the receiving of the Holy Spirit is. And I tell you, we can all become full of the Holy Spirit tonight. We don't have to wait 10 more days. Just open ourselves and make ourselves available to God so that He can fulfill it. Quote, that's the only way you can have part in the first resurrection. When the Holy Ghost bears record, when the Holy Spirit comes into you. These are words that we cannot easily push off to the right or to the left. They are words that must have something to say to you and me tonight. And we are about to go into prayer and give God the opportunity to fill us all with the Holy Spirit. Don't ask how it's going to be. That's God's business. If I were to do it, you could ask me. I would know then how I would do it. But because God does it, let us accept it as He does it. Without any imagination of our own, things will always turn out differently than we imagine. Not once will God do something the way you or I imagine it. Every time it will be different, but always biblical. That is very important. Quote, now the Holy Spirit works as in the beginning. The church is united and produces the powerful work of the Holy Spirit as He did then. The same works that were done in the beginning are now manifested in like manner. Here he points back to the beginning. Jesus Christ is the first and the last after all. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. As he worked in the beginning, so he must work in the end. For the end must again become like the beginning. But before he can work in this way, we as believers must experience the realization of the promise. Not only to be bearers of God's promise, but as bearers of this promise, God wants to make it a reality in us. Abraham was the bearer of the promise. The promise was realized. It became a reality. You and I, we are bearers of the Word of God. We are bearers of the promises of God. We are pardoned. God has forgiven us through the blood of the Lamb. Now he wants to bring our conversion to completion. He wants to respond with his Spirit. The heavens shall open and the Holy Spirit descend. And if tonight we are not only bearers of the promise, but believe that God will bring it to pass, then it just has to happen. We don't have to wait any longer. How glorious! Again this quote. Now the Holy Spirit works as in the beginning. The church is united and brings forth the powerful work of God. Isn't that a wonderful word? And we can see there the parallel with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. We have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. We are members of the body of Jesus Christ. Understand for once that God can do nothing at all without us, just as the head can do nothing at all without the members, without the body. He needs us. He has redeemed, purchased, bought the church to be the head of this church, to be able to work through the individual believers as through his members, and to reveal his power. And for this we need the power of the Holy Spirit. It is, after all, a divine, a spiritual kingdom. In this kingdom, your and my work is not required, only the work of the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes on to write to the Corinthians, to one is given this gift, to the other that one. And then comes the sentence which summarizes everything. But all these things worketh one and the same Spirit, giving to each one a gift as he will. And we need the work of the Holy Spirit. Without this, the same works that happened in the beginning cannot happen. Without it, the church will not be united. People try to have followers and draw them after them. But God unites his church under one head, and Jesus Christ is this head. And we all, as members, let ourselves be joined together to this glorious body of the Lord. A number of scriptures could be read. In closing, let us come back to the Bible and read a little further here. Maybe again, chapter 1, verse 9, in Acts 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Here I must stop for a moment. At the end of the Lord's first coming, when he was about to enter into glory, he gave the final instructions to his disciples. Just as he was taken from them and had disappeared from their sight, already two men stood there, clothed in white, giving the promise of his return. He has just been taken from them, in one moment, gone from their sight. In the next comes the announcement, this same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And then it is about the experience we need to have part in the second coming of Christ. It says here from verse 12, Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, and so forth. And then it says in verse 14, These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. I could take you to Luke. I think it's in Luke. There it says that they were in the temple. In Luke 24, it says in the last verse, And were continually in the temple, praising God. But here, they were not in the temple. Here they were in the place, in the upper room, where they had been often enough with their master. In the temple, many went in and out. There were these and those, and everything mixed. They went there, where they had often gathered with Jesus, to wait for the promise. We do not go here or there to a temple or a synagogue. We come together in the name of the Lord, in the place where he has often spoken to us by grace. And we do not come here just to hear him speak. We come here to experience the fulfillment of His promise. Hallelujah! We have to believe that. This must make us happy. Faith is not a convulsive thing. Faith is something quite joyful. And I say to you, dear brother and dear sister, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit in these days, don't close yourself off and don't become encapsulated, but open yourself up and begin to praise and glorify God. Begin to thank the Lord for His grace. And as you offer thanks to God, the answer will come. For faith takes. Faith does not stand begging at the door. Whoever knocks, the door is opened. He who asks, takes. He who seeks, finds. And so we must open ourselves inwardly. And the Holy Scripture says, open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. And then, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Brethren, we cannot afford to tell you that if you believe the end time message, you are in for the rapture. We must tell you that we believe the end time message from the heart and have been set apart and have heard the call of God and recognized the prophetic ministry. But we need the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit that can transform our bodies. And we can't do it any other way. We won't be able to do it without that. Now here, we read it. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They were not talking about this and that. They were together in prayer, focused on one goal. And that goal was receiving the Holy Spirit. They were not waiting for 2-3 different things. They all had one and the same goal, the same desire, the same longing. Their prayers came together, went up to God, and God heard, and God answered, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. How about us tonight? Where do your thoughts and mine go? May they be taken under the control of God. And it is so wonderful when Brother Branham, in the film that many have seen, and sometimes during the healing service or at the beginning of the healing service, says, now I take every spirit under my control for the glory of God, that only the Holy Spirit can work. And so may all other spirits be silent in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And may the Holy Spirit speak. And the Spirit speaks the words of God. And the words of God are spirit and life. They become reality before your eyes and mine. Thankful for the speaking of God. Grateful for the fulfillment of the Scriptures on Israel. Grateful for the fulfillment of the prophecies throughout the world. Grateful for the word of prophecy. When I say to you, We all have nothing to complain about. We have only to give thanks. For if we complain now, what will happen when the bad times come? At the moment, we have no reason to complain. Maybe we sin sometimes. If today we bring all our personal needs, everything that wants to push us down to the cross and unload it, throw it down at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, you shed your blood on the cross of Calvary. You redeemed me and called me by my name. I am yours for time and for eternity. And if we were to say, Lord, you chose me before the foundation of the world. You know, you have to pour out your heart to God in gratitude. Not always, oh Lord, you know this and that, and this need and so on. That's not how we get on with God. We then spin around on our own axis and don't get anywhere. We stay in the same place. If we lay everything down to the Lord and believe in predestination, that everything in His kingdom is done according to His will, and we are placed in His kingdom, then everything shall be done as He would have it. You know, when Gethsemane and everything came towards our Savior, there it was Peter, and not only Peter, the enemy in him, who said, Lord, this shall not happen to you. He wanted a pleasant way for his master, a way without problems, a way without cross, a way without shame, a way without death. You and I can wish for such a way, but we will get something quite different. You can wish whatever you want, but you will get what God has intended for you. You say, Oh Lord, I want everything to be good for me. Yes, then how will you be prepared? No, God will put into your life what is necessary. No more, no less. And He will not let anyone be tempted beyond His ability, but will make that every trial, every temptation, every hardship, every sorrow, that everything will come to an end, that we can bear it. And the Lord knows, even though we often say, I can't take it anymore, He knows very well we still can, but only with His strength. I tell you, looking at myself, I would have collapsed long ago. But when I look to the Lord, I get new strength. And I see the church before me, the people of God, whom the Lord has called out with a powerful message of love and teaching. Oh, that God could make us joyful in these days, that the joy in the Lord could become our strength. And I tell you, it is written, if we praise and glorify the Lord, this is the way that I may show you the salvation of God. Not with murmuring and complaining and wailing. You will get sick yourself, and all those who hear you complaining and moaning and wailing will also get sick. But if you can cope with it inwardly and not burden others, but unload your burden under the cross and leave it there, you and I, We all make the same mistake almost all our lives. We cast our burden down at the feet of Jesus, and before we have looked around, we are carrying it again and perish under it. And we cast it down again, and before we know it, we are carrying it again. He took upon himself all that you had to carry, all our guilt, all our sin, everything he took upon himself. We need to become a word bride, a bride in whom the word of promise for this time becomes a reality by the grace and the power of God. And I ask you today, has not the word of promise also become a reality in Brother Branham? Has not the Lord said, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, which shall burn as an oven. In it the elements shall dissolve in flames." I quoted three scriptures in one: 2 Peter 3, verse 10, Malachi 3, verse 19, and the other scripture, where it was, it doesn't matter. In the man of God, who was sent for the calling out, the scriptures and promises that referred to him and his ministry were fulfilled. In the church, every promise that was given for the called out ones in this time must necessarily be fulfilled. And this we must see. God's word was not only fulfilled in John as the voice of him who cries in the wilderness. God's word was fulfilled in our Lord Jesus. God's word was fulfilled in the church. God's word is still being fulfilled today. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to our God. We cannot live by the experiences of others. We must have our personal experience with our God. Every promise is yes and amen. Word bride is a bride, the bride of Jesus Christ, in whom the word of promise can become a reality. And may God give that to me, and may he give that to you by grace. There is no need to talk much about it, let alone argue about it. Those who are still arguing are not yet in the matter. He who has really been taken hold of by God and called out and believes in his heart will leave the quarrel to the right and to the left and will look to Jesus and will go forward and say, "Lord, I have entered into a covenant with you and you with me. I will follow you wherever it goes." The church in the beginning was a word bride, for the word of promise was fulfilled in their midst. And with this equipment of power began the whole ministry, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, the ministries and the power of God in general, which could then be revealed in and through the church. Let us summarize. We are here on these days of Pentecost to have the experience that our brothers and sisters had on that first day of Pentecost. They had followed the Lord long enough. They had received the teaching, the crucifixion, the slander, the betrayal. They had left everything behind. They had gathered in fear, for there were only a few left. They had closed the doors. But the Lord, He came into their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the heavens were open and the blessing of God poured down. I have not yet read that the heavens closed. I have not yet read that God stopped blessing. On the contrary, almost in every sermon, Brother Branham refers to Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And of Him, John said, "It is He who baptizes with Spirit and with fire." And so we may expect it today. Be glad in your God and give thanks to the Lord from your heart. That is how we can receive it. Perhaps tomorrow morning I will let it play here once, as Brother Branham asked at the end of a word proclamation, that all who have not yet received the Holy Ghost, that it should be prayed for them. And you will be amazed at the manner in which it was done. Certainly not in the way you and I imagine. If we don't hear it here tomorrow, you will be able to hear it anyway on the next sermon that we will send out. But there is one thing I ask of you tonight. Let us not be gathered from near and far in vain, but let us say, "Lord, bless us, be with us, fulfill your word in me, on me, through me." And when we all pray like that, and it becomes mightier and mightier, and suddenly it goes over from your praying into the Spirit of God, and the glory of the Lord comes down and fills us all. From the scriptures and from the quotations that we have read from Brother Branham's sermon today, how many have really seen the need to be filled biblically with the Holy Spirit? All of you, you don't need to raise your hands. Just open your hearts to God and open your mouths and say, "Lord, today I have realized it. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit today." When you say in prayer, "Lord, I know one day you will fill me with the Holy Spirit," that is a very indefinite thing. That is no prayer at all. You can keep it for yourself. Faith is not faith for one day. Faith is, "Oh, that you could believe, you would see the glory of God." When Martha said, "I know my brother will rise again on the last day," the Lord was inwardly moved. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." In other words, you don't have to wait, and He does not need to wait until the last day. "I, the resurrection, am here. Lazarus, come forth." We don't need to wait any longer. Jesus is here to fill with Holy Spirit, to pour out the fire of God upon us. But the only need is united in faith, focused in prayer on the same goal. If anyone is disturbed by another who gets too loud, the blessing is already gone. Today, let each one according to his mentality. You know, some people, when they have a deep pain, they cry and others laugh. Yes, mentalities are so different. One reacts like this, the other like that. One jumps, the other sits down. One yells and cheers, the other lets everything pass quietly. Leave everyone alone, with the way he is. That's how God made him. And the Bible says, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. There are some who have a mentality that's not quite tailored to my collar width either, but they are still God's creatures. Let's let them have their way. Brother Branham said, a church is not a graveyard. There must be something there to hear. And if there is nothing to be heard there, then there is death. And dead churches are plentiful. We want life from God. Life wrought by the Holy Spirit. Fulfillment of Scripture. Fulfillment of promise. Reality in your heart and life and in mine. God bless us all by grace. Amen.